Hello, I'm Luke Jones. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. In BBC OS Conversations, we bring people together to share their experiences. This time, it's conversations with US voters on the cost of living. The US economy is growing, unemployment is down, and price rises in the shops are stabilising. So why aren't voters feeling it yet? American families from across the political spectrum will share their views and will bring together young people struggling with their finances.
As of right now, I cannot save. I cannot make any mistakes. I cannot pay off my debt. We are kind of just at a standstill right now, trying to survive, trying to feed my child, you know.
As we get closer to the US presidential election, surveys have consistently indicated that the economy is a top concern for American voters, transcending age and political affiliation. Since the pandemic, most people in the country have experienced steep price rises of many essentials like groceries and fuel. But the economic outlook now is quite good. Last week, the US Commerce Department released the latest figures on the state of the nation's finances. They showed that the economy grew by 2.8%. and that the country's on track for one of the strongest economic performances of any major economy this year. You would have thought those sorts of figures would benefit the current vice president and Democratic Party candidate Kamala Harris in these elections. But Donald Trump, for the Republicans, has made his economic record when he was president, remembered by some as a rosier time, as a key part of his pitch to voters. For our first conversation, my colleague Mark Lowen brought together Scott and Whitney, a husband and wife in Nevada. They're both voting for Donald Trump. And they spoke with brother and sister Mohammed and Miriam. They're both at college in the swing states of Pennsylvania and Georgia. And like millions of people across the country, have already voted by post.
I didn't want to vote for Trump. And I've kind of liked the Biden administration, which Harris is a part of. So I want to see more from them, I guess.
I voted for Jill Stein by mail because I feel pretty dissatisfied with both parties' policies and proposals. So that is why I chose the Green Party.
You're in a swing state, aren't you? You're in Georgia, which both main candidates are vying to get. Do you feel it's a kind of wasted vote in some way?
I don't feel that way because I feel like wasting a vote is not voting at all. Whereas if I use my vote, even if I know this candidate won't win, at least I have a say in how I feel. And I kind of hope that the Democratic Party will see that their like voter base is dissatisfied and do more to appeal to us in the future. I feel like they make a lot of promises and they just don't really keep them. Like, for example, student debt relief. That was something I was looking forward to when I voted for Biden, and then we didn't get that. And Kamala, right now, I feel like she makes a lot of like empty promises and non-answers, and her policies aren't really clear to me. So that's why I didn't really want to vote for her.
Whitney and Scott, you're both in Nevada. Who are you voting for and why?
I'm voting for Trump. I really liked what he did when he was in office. I felt like our economy was headed in a very positive direction, and I'd like to see more of that. I'd like to get our economy back on a good track and have better relations with other countries. I've just really been so disappointed and really have hated what Biden has done to our country in the last 4 years. And Kamala said she hasn't seen anything that she disliked about the way Biden did things. And so that scares me.
And I'll tell you, Trump this year is not the same Trump that we've seen in the past. I've been so impressed with how he's brought in Tulsi Gabbard. He's brought in Robert Kennedy Jr.,
not Republican Party figures.
Exactly. Frankly, Republicans should be worried about that. But I think it indicates that the Republican Party is changing. It's not the same party of the 1990s.
Is it Trump's party now?
I don't think so. I think he's there. I think he's more like a seismograph. He didn't create the earthquake, but he's showing us that there's an earthquake there.
Whitney, you said that you liked the state of the economy under Trump. I mean, in the last couple of years, 3 or 4 years, unemployment is at a very, very low level, almost a 50-year low. Inflation is down. The economy is booming in America. Do you not give that credit to Biden for that?
Well, I'm not seeing that at all. I'm seeing things still being as high as they've ever been in the grocery store. I've seen product costs being so high for our business, and inflation is still a very real thing. And so I do not see it as being any kind of real improvement.
I would say the economy feels bad, but I think that's just because I'm lower class. I do read the headlines, and I did see that inflation has really eased. And I see all the metrics, and I believe in them. And I personally look at my life. I'm grateful, you know, I can afford lots of things that I don't fully need. But there's lots of things that I do need that I can afford no matter what I do. I feel like the economy probably is healthier, but not to the benefit of everyone.
Tell me a bit more about your daily life and some of the financial struggles that you're facing.
Right now, I'm in Philly for college, but at home, it's stuff like our air conditioner leaks and we can't afford to replace it. So that's bad for the environment. And it's uncomfortable in the summer, but to actually fix it would cost like thousands. So that's one thing. Our car is pretty old. My mom makes like 23K a year, and we're a house of three.
$23,000 for three people.
Mm-hmm. Property tax is absurd. It's like $8,000, which is like a third of my mom's income. Those are the things I think about the most when I'm worried about finances.
I feel like things have gotten more expensive, and it's even hard now to find a minimum wage job. And a lot of people I know, too, who graduated their undergraduate college are like struggling to find jobs, even with their degrees, even minimum wage jobs.
I was trying to find a part-time job over the summer, and my experience was like, you apply to places and they ignore you, or they reply really late. I think that's the job hunt experience for anyone doing like non-career work. It's hard to find a job.
Unemployment might be down and the economy might be doing great, but I feel like for the average American, it's like still a struggle. And me personally, I'm living paycheck to paycheck right now in grad school. I get paid once a month. So as soon as I get paid, I pay my rent for the next month and my bills, so like utilities. And that's like half my paycheck already, sometimes a little more if the utilities are high. When I'm putting gas in my car, I have to subtract that from my budget. If I need to do something like get an oil change or like pay for something for my car, I have to like sacrifice grocery money. Like last month, I had $20 left over because I also had to pay university fees.
$20 in your wallet at the end of the month?
From my paycheck, yeah.
Wow.
We're in a different phase of life than these folks we're talking with, but we sympathize with them because we have kids in that phase. We have three college students right now. You know, for them to get jobs over the summer or them to get part-time jobs while they're in school, it's nearly impossible. And even for us, you know, we're very successful at this point in life, and we struggled for years and years. But going to the grocery store, I'm reluctant to purchase beef because beef is so expensive.
My heart goes out to Muhammad and Miriam because it's like I'm listening to my kids speak. You know, it is just so sad to think that, you know, our kids are going out there. And I'm saying kids, but they're, you know, late teens, early 20s, and they're getting these jobs and they're working hard and they're trying to, you know, start somewhere and they're getting their paychecks and their paychecks are barely making it so that they can afford a few things like going out or having a nice dinner. But they definitely can't afford to have their own place or start looking for their own apartment or something. Even with roommates, it's just impossible right now. And that is so sad and deflating for them when they're supposed to be in this exciting moment in their life where they're making this transition to become independent. Becoming independent right now in this economy is impossible.
So that kind of cornerstone of the American dream, home ownership, seems impossible for your kids, Whitney, at the moment?
They're
living with you, I understand.
Yeah, I've got one away. My oldest is away at college. She's finishing her senior year of college, and so she's out. But when the other two were getting ready for college and we were looking at prices of tuition for out of state or even just living outside the home, it was like, no way. And they understood, you know, they had to be reasonable about it, but they had to stay at home to go to a state school. And I feel bad about that, but it just logically, it just would not make sense.
Scott, were things better 4 years ago? I mean, did you see a future in which your kids would be able to own homes and lead independent lives?
Well, you know, 4 years ago, we were kind of in a bad spot with the pandemic and other things. But I'll tell you what, when Trump was in office, he passed those tax cuts. And for somebody in my tax bracket as a successful business owner, it 100% allowed me to hire one more employee. And so I have an extra employee now who's making $80,000 a year, which so many people would kill for a job like that. It's an amazing, you know, with a retirement plan. And so that's 100% a result of a tax cut from Trump. And because people think that tax cuts, that somehow if somebody who does have money, if they're able to keep some, that they're going to put it in a pile and burn it or something. It's like, what do you think they're going to do with the money? They're going to spend it either to make their business more successful, which is usually on people and things, or they're going to, you know, spend it to support other businesses. And so I was a direct recipient of that, and so are other people now.
Mariam, you heard there the struggle for the kids of Whitney and Scott. I mean, do you foresee a moment when you'd be able to own your own home at the moment?
I really do not. My family's kind of struggling to just keep the house we already own. I definitely don't think I'll be able to buy one ever if things keep going the way they are. Everything keeps getting more expensive. Like when I was searching for an apartment for grad school now, even just renting now is like the cost of a mortgage. And if you pay a mortgage, you also have property taxes. But I was looking at apartments in Athens, Georgia, where I am now. And my rent currently is $700 basically for a windowless room. A few years ago, it was like $200. So it's like doubled or tripled since. My stipend doesn't increase with it. Like my pay doesn't increase. I just, the things I have to pay for increase. So I'm just stretching my budget thinner and thinner every year. So I really don't think I'll be able to save for a home.
Mohammed, you've heard everybody lay out so many concerns about the cost of living at the moment. And you're voting for a candidate who has been in office as vice president for the last 4 years. Do you feel that she's got the answers to these problems? And do you think that she can improve the situation?
To be honest, I am kind of a low expectations voter. I can't point to any specific policies that I think Harris will enact that will improve the economy, but I guess I'd say I just hope for slow incremental change, because economic policies they take a long time to have an effect. So I'm kind of just blindly trusting with little expectation.
I honestly feel the same about Kamala and Trump. There's certain things that I'm like, I disagree with Trump about, but I don't really dread his presidency if he wins. I feel pretty indifferent. I feel like my situation, day-to-day life, won't really change much. And that's simply because I just look at his policies and Kamala's policies, and he does have like plans for the economy, but I don't really see how his plans will improve the cost of living. So I'm just like indifferent, really.
Sister and brother, Miriam and Mohammed, in conversation with husband and wife, Whitney and Scott, all facing similar challenges, as you heard there, but voting differently. I'm Luke Jones, and this is BBC OS Conversations on US voters and the cost of living. For our second conversation, we are going to hear from three more young voters. We brought together Cecilia, a student living in Pennsylvania, Matthew in Connecticut, and first Isabella in Texas. She told my colleague Mark that she found making a choice between the two presidential candidates difficult, but eventually chose to vote for Kamala Harris.
Right now, I do live with my husband and my two-year-old son in a two-bedroom apartment, which is about $1,300 to $1,400 a month for rent. That leaves us absolutely no room for any mistake. For example, the other day, we didn't have any money saved over because it all went to rent. We went $600 for a money order on 1 week, and then $600 the next week, and whatever we had left went to another money order for that rent. So I took my husband to a doctor's appointment. I locked the keys in the car. Unfortunate mistake, but it does happen. I had to pay $80 for a locksmith. And now, since I had to pull out that money, I had to get a loan. So we are really struggling financially. And obviously, it causes no room at all for any kind of mistakes. We would like to be able to have a set mortgage or be able to have a certain cap on rent, specifically, just so that way we can have that flexibility again.
I'm Matthew Donahue. I'm 25. I live right now in Vernon, Connecticut, but I'm originally from Tennessee. And I actually plan on voting third party. So I'm voting for Peter Sonsky, who's running for president for the American Solidarity Party. And I'm voting for that because I don't really think either political party, especially the fact that there's really only these two parties that are just only against each other, I don't think that really provides a stable future for America in the long run. And I think something needs to change. And I'm trying to think, you know, 80 years when my children are having children. And I think that if we don't start voting third party soon, then the two parties will just sort of bring each other down into a place where we don't want our country to be. Both of these parties have had their chance to really fix a lot of our problems, and they haven't. They say they will. And here we are again, every single election, we say, oh, the economy is so bad. Who's going to improve the economy? And it hasn't happened.
My name is Cecilia. I am 20 years old. I currently live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but I am originally from Massachusetts. I'm a student, and I am voting for the Harris-Waltz team for this next upcoming election. And I'm voting for them for very similar reasons, for especially housing. There's a huge housing crisis going on in the United States right now, and that's something that we really see happening in Philadelphia. People are being pushed out of their neighborhoods because of property taxes and lack of kind of public housing measures for the middle class. And there's no protection from outside developers coming in to kind of take over these neighborhoods and completely change the cost of living here for people who have been here for generations. I'm also voting for Harris Walls because I believe in a woman's right to choose. I think that's a huge, important issue, especially as a woman. A woman's right to choose to have an abortion up to like any time in a term of pregnancy. And I believe that Kamala Harris is a voice for some of us who feel like the country has gotten so divided by this dichotomy between Republicans and Democrats. And I think that's something Harris made very clear in her debate against Donald Trump, that she is going to be someone who fights for all people, all ages, and especially represents younger people and minority populations.
Isabella, you mentioned the struggles that you have got with living paycheck to paycheck. Just explain to me a little bit more about your kind of daily life and what you are able to do and what you're not able to do at the moment.
For example, on Friday, we kind of had that incident with the locksmith. So on Saturday, I did host at IHOP.
Sorry, what's IHOP?
It is a restaurant here in Texas. I hosted from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m., as in sit people. And then at 4 p.m., I went home. And then at 5 p.m., I went back to work for another 8-hour shift. And then this morning, I am going to go ahead and go back in to serve at the restaurant to see if I can get a little extra cash. So right now, it's just a matter of me being able to find hours here and there, especially because I am still a mother. And I do need to be at home with my son because my husband does work a 9-to-5 job from Monday through Friday. Fortunately, we are able to have, you know, some help with my mother-in-law and my other family. But yes, as of right now, I cannot save. I cannot make any mistakes. I cannot pay off my debt. We are kind of just at a standstill right now, trying to survive, trying to feed my child, you know.
Trying to survive. Just 21 years old, I presume this is radically different from the young, fortunate life that you hoped you would have.
Of course. I will admit that, you know, I did have a child very young. I did move from San Antonio about 2 hours away at 20 years old. I got married at 20 years old. I started my life very early. So I can understand, you know, I'm not able to have that kind of opportunity just because of my age. I haven't had the time to, you know, get a college degree or stay at a good job and build a career. But I do feel that either way, I shouldn't have to be struggling this much, especially because my husband works full time.
Matthew and Cecilia, when you hear Isabella's struggles, do you identify with what she says? Are they similar to your experiences?
Not entirely. I'm really fortunate that both my parents and my wife's parents have been financially stable for a long time. And so they really helped us out when we were younger. For example, when I was in high school and when I was in college, when I worked, like I was just able to save all of that money. I didn't have to be worrying about my day-to-day expenses. For example, my wife and I just bought a house, and it became really apparent to me while we were buying a house that if it hadn't been for our parents' help, there was absolutely no way we would have been able to afford a house probably in the next decade. Because even though we'd been saving up so much money for as long as we could, it was barely attainable.
There's no way for young families to pay rent on an apartment in Philadelphia right now. It's a lot of moving into parents' homes. We have a huge homelessness crisis here as well. So that's a very real issue for young families just starting out, like Isabella was talking about.
You guys are all Gen Z. You represent a really important part of the electorate that both main candidates are chasing hard. Do you get a sense that young people are turning away from the Democrats? What are your friends and family saying?
I work with a youth-centered nonprofit here in Philadelphia, and I will say that in my experience, Gen Z has never been more tuned into an election. Young people are very much aware of the issues that they're facing. They know that the cost of childcare is going up. They know that it's going to be harder for them to have a family and have this idea of an American dream, owning a house, getting a good, stable job. Those are all things we're thinking about. We hear every day from our students that they know their schools are underfunded. Public education's completely underfunded in Philadelphia. And students are aware of that acutely every single day. And that's one of the reasons that they're so tuned into this election. But I think because young people talk about and use different language than maybe classic demographic that turns out to vote in other past elections, that they are written off as maybe apathetic or that they're not paying attention or they're miseducated. But students, young people know exactly what they're being shortchanged on, and that's why we're tuning in so much to this presidential election.
The reason why I'm voting third party is because I see these problems, and I've lived in Tennessee, which is typically like Republican state, and I now live in Connecticut, which is a typically Democratic state, and both states have the same problems. And so I don't really see that either party has managed to fix any of the issues that I think are really serious. I mean, in both places, it looks grim to start a family. It looks grim to have debt, I mean, and having to try to pay that off. It looks grim to try to buy a house. It looks grim with the national debt being as high as it is. And if no one's going to fix that, then I think we need to have even more emotion and start trying to make even more change.
Gen Z voters, Matthew, Isabella and Cecilia, talking to my colleague Mark Lowen. Thank you to them for sharing their experiences and their voting intentions with us. I'm Luke Jones, and you've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.